Jake's gonna be the art type of Yeshua Jigarer. It's not a name that many of you have heard, maybe ever have heard. Yeshua Jigarer. Yeshua Jigarer comes from a line of very great tzaddikim in the Hasidus of Rafshitz. It begins with Rav Naftali Rafshitzer. Machaber Sefer Zerach Kodesh, who was a Talmud of the Neimer Melech. And he had a son, a very great tzaddik in his time, Rav Elazar Jigarer. Of course, Jigarer was the city that they were, that wasn't their last name. Their last name was Horowitz. Jigarer was the city that they were Rabbanim in. It was in Galicia. And from Rav Elazarel had a few very great sons. One of them was Rav Meir Jigarer, who was Mechaber the Sefer Imminoyim. I actually mentioned him this morning in the shir. And Rav Yeshua Jigarer was one of the sons of Rav Meir. And keeping in line with the derech of the Rav Tzadikim, Yeshua was Mechaber a Sefer called Ateres Yeshua. And a lot of it is filled with gematrios. Very pale the gematrios, actually. We'll share maybe a piece of a Torah, maybe a short Torah on the second part when we speak about the Tanad Velio. And towards the end of the Malach HaMalkam, it's Hashem. But he was known to be a big Baal Ruach HaKodesh, a very great tzaddik, a very mysterious tzaddik at the same time. He knew Baruch HaKodesh that there was going to be a war. And so, although it wasn't so popular amongst tzaddikim to send any of their chassidim to America, because he foresaw what was happening, he would send his chassidim to America, and many of them were saved from the Mechama. It seems like he had a knack of knowing when milchamas would take place. It says that on Rosh Hashanah, when he would say in the Nesana Toikif, Ve'al ha-medina is bo yomer, and on the Medina is there going to be Geyser, you know, which one will be Becherev, and which one will live, which one will be B'Shalom. So they saw open Ruach HaKodesh at that time, that he would actually say, this city is going to have milchama with this one this year, and this country with this one this year. That was seemed to be kaseder by him, by Rosh Hashanah. He could see what was going to happen in Mechamas in the Welt. Because at times there was open Ruach HaKodesh by Rav Yeshua Jigarer, although he was a very interesting derech, Rav Yeshua Jigarer. So the Yortzeit from last week, the Shin of Arav, was when main machlekes against him. Because that was not his derech to show open Ruach HaKodesh and open Giluyim and implies. But once when they met each other on a certain town, they happened to cross paths, and people were afraid of what was going to be. And as soon as the Shin of Arav saw Rav Yeshua Jigarer, he ran and he embraced him. That's really machlekesin from tzaddikim. We don't really know the oimik of what it is. I mean, we know a little bit, but there's a tremendous toicha ratzif ahava that the tzaddikim have for one another. He was very sharp. And this seems to be part of like the Rafshitz or Derech. The tzaddikim of Rafshitz had a very, very strong wit and sense of humor. Going back to Naftali Rafshitz, it was known for that wit. So he once remarked to the Rebbe Shula, he says, you know, we find in Shulchan Aruch, there's a halacha, what to do if the Baal Tokeah has a hard time blowing the shofar. Right, there's all different things. You're supposed to turn it upside down, to say V'hinoyim 7 times. He says, how come we don't find that in these diaries that the Baal Tokeahs have a hard time blowing the shofar? It seems like it was an epidemic in early generations, that they needed certain skulas to blow. But nowadays, Pearson picks up the shofar and it goes. So he said like this, in the earlier generations, that the Admorim, that they were tzaddikim, and if they would do an Avera Kala, if they would do a slight Avera, so then the shofar wouldn't be able to blow. Because there was judgment. There was a din on Rosh Hashanah, and there was a very exact din on the tzaddikim. So if they had any pagam whatsoever, and they weren't maharer in tshuva and prepared themselves for Rosh Hashanah, they wouldn't be able to blow the shofar. But he says, but bizmanenu, ha'admar hu shutfa shel ha-satan. Nowadays, the Rebbe is a shutuf with the satan. So the satan doesn't stop him. Because he knows that the shofar is not going to do anything. The other Rebbe, he holds the shofar and he says to him, Tiku, blow it. Blow it. He's not afraid from our blowings. He was very sharp against other Rebbes, meaning it's not always that you see a Rebbe and then he has he has letters by his in front of his name or after his name. That means he's a great tzaddik. They were very makbid on tzaddikim, that the tzaddikim had to be righteous, real Rebbes. And when they weren't, it's a churban for the whole chassidus. So he made fun of the other Rebbes who he felt were not teicha kabara in that way. Once there was a yid who was supposed to daven for the teva to be shliach tzibur, and he had stage fright. He was afraid to go up and to lead the tzibur in public. So the jikavit said to him, "I have an etzah for you." He says, "Just imagine that you're standing in front of the ibishter, because you don't have any yerushalayim anyways." Not afraid of him anyways. One of the ways of in the Jikavit Tzaddikim, what made them very unique is that they were very cautious when it came to, like we said, doing things publicly. They tried to conceal everything. Because part of the Chachma of Rav Shitz, we started to learn a little bit about the Derech of Rav Shitz, is that we always have to be concerned about the Kitrug of the Satan. That if the Satan is watching and he makes Kitrugi, and we don't want to catch the attention of the Satan. Very mysterious way. Many tzaddikim are knowing in this way, but it was especially prevalent among the Rav Shitz Hasidim. There was the minhag of many tzaddikim that by the Shabbos HaGadol, before Pesach, that they would daven, they would get up early to daven. But the Jikav Rav had an inyan that even on Shabbos Shuvah, he would wake up very early and daven very quickly. And apparently this was a Masari he had from Rav Tali Rav Shitzer, and he explained why he did this b'derech mashal. So if a person has a lot of coins in his pocket, so he needs to conceal it because of Marasayan, that people shouldn't see what's inside. So he said the same thing on Rosh Hashanah. We were mamshich all types of goodies on Rosh Hashanah, all types of brachas and hashbos tovos. And because we don't want the satan to see, we need to conceal it. So therefore, we daven, he said, very early and very quickly on Shabbos Shuvah, as if we're davening b'moichin dekanas, as if we didn't receive anything on Rosh Hashanah. So that the satan shouldn't see as if we received something on Rosh Hashanah. Of course, this is not just a license for somebody to daven quickly on Shabbos Shuvah or to daven any time of the year like that. But for a very great tzaddikim, that they were very careful about the watchful eye of the Satan on them. So they had mysterious ways of things which they did. Once we're speaking about Rosh Hashanah and Slichos. So there was a Yid who lived in his town. Actually, he lived in Antwerp, but there was a Moshe Gadseltzer. And once he bought a lot of Schaira, some very precious jewels, green precious jewels, and he couldn't find anybody to sell them to. So he sent a letter to it was his uncle, the Bishula, complaining that he invested tremendous amount of money into this chayra and there's no buyers. So on Rosh Hashanah, he went to Bishua. And on Erev Rosh Hashanah, after Kaddish, after the Sichas were done, so Bishula called him over and he said, "Don't worry, Marshallah, I sold all your jewels for you already." He says, "When I was saying Zachor Bris during the Sichas, I found a buyer for you. Don't worry about it. V'kachava. He sat actually a Torah on Zuchorpis by the Tish. And soon enough, there was somebody who came and he bought all the Zuchorpis for. So he found ways to make a shulis for people in his davenings. Very interesting story here. It says that this Yid tells a story that he was once in the city of Kranitz, the Kamik Rav. And Rabbi Shula was there also. And he said, I went to the Shalash Shudis of Rabbi Shula from Jacob. And it was a very quick Shalash Shudis. As soon as he saw that there were three stars outside, he was ready to bench. So he explained, Rabbi Shula, he said, the Rabbi Melech, the Rabbi Rabbi Melech, he would spend many hours by Shalash Shudis. And one time, the general came. A general walked into the Shalash Shudis of Rabbi Melech. And he forced him, he was forcing Rabbi Melech to end the Shalash Shudis and to start davening Marv. And he says, this general was the Sar Shal Gehenim. The Sar Shal Gehenim came to the Shalash Shudis of Rabbi Melech and he said, I'm forcing you to stop your Shalash Shudis. If you're wondering, what does the Sar Shal Gehenim have to do with Shalash Shudis? So we know that all the neshamas on Shabbos have a reprieve. That the Torah says, "Lisivaru eish b'chom ha'shveseichem b'yom ha'Shabbos," that there's no fires on Shabbos. So the Zohar says, there's no fires on Shabbos, that Hashem also doesn't run his fires on Shabbos. There's no Gehenim on Shabbos. But the Sar Shal Gehenim is very anxious on Moshe Shabbos to get the fires up and running again. So the Zohar speaks very strongly against the first person in Klal Yisrael who strikes a match on Moshe Shabbos, he lights all the fires of Gehenim. That's why the Siddiqui made a very big inyan to push Shalash Shudis to be very late because they didn't want to be responsible. And they felt that as long as the Shalash Shudis was still going on, even though there was, of course, is going to be that person at, 25 minutes after Shkia to start lighting and to set all the fires already, get it going. As long as there is a tzaddik in the world that his tish is still going, so everybody will have a ptur from having all the Rishayim from having to go back to Gehenna. And that was the very beginning by Tzidikim Ad Hayoim, that they're ma'irich very much by Shalash Shudis as a protection for these neshamas. So once the general, he called him, came in, and this was a real person. It wasn't just like the sign, like a person walked in and looking like a general. And he made a whole macha against the Na'im HaMelech, and he said, I'm forcing you to stop, and to stop the Shalash Shudis and to start ma'irich now. So B'Shu'ilah says, but Melech wasn't afraid of the Sar Shal Gehenna. He says, but I'm afraid of the Sar Shal Gehenim, so I'm stopping Shalash Shudis, and we're doing mine. I mean to say, of course, that the Sar Shal Gehenim came in, and he was forcing him to stop. That's why he ended quickly. Just to show you about the madrigas of the tzaddik in the world which we live in, this doesn't happen to you and I, and especially doesn't happen to me. I don't know if it happens to you, but the Sar Shal Gehenim is bothered by the Shalash Shudis of the Yeteres Yeshua, of Yeshua, of the Jikv HaRav. But this is the world which the tzaddikim lived in. And they continue to live in. It's just that we don't yet know the stories to share about them of the current tzaddikim as well. I heard a story from my Rebbe, told about the Jacob Rav. He said that the Jacob Rav, that he had a way that he would wake up very early and he would daven shacharis while he was still in his bed. He would put on his towels and fill in his bed under the covers and he would daven and nobody knew when he davened. So he would walk out of, imagine this, the Rebbe would walk out, he would come out of his room and he'd sit there at the breakfast and was like, okay, can I have something to eat now? Imagine doing that. That was one of the ways of Bishula. So my Rebbe, when he told me this maisa, he said to me, so what's pshat in this maisa? So what's pshat in this maisa? He opened up the question. Why would he do something like that? So I'm posing the question. Does anybody have any answers? Why would a Rebbe do this?
Overnight he was cleansed. And therefore, his neshama being cleansed, he didn't want to enter the world.
To get out of there? Okay. That's good. That's a good answer. What does my Rebbe say?
What about Minyan?
No, he didn't have the Minyan. He didn't have Bechidus. I don't know if he did this all the time. He didn't do this all the time, but he would do this. He would do this on occasion. He would dive in under his covers, towels and filling. He'd come out, he'd sit by the breakfast table, he says, ready to eat. And nobody said, the Rebbe didn't daven yet. So this is what my Rebbe said. He said the reason why he did this is because he wanted to be mevarer who are his real chassidim. Meaning that the Rebbe would make kashas on himself. And the reason why he made kashas on himself is because he wanted to know who are his real chassidim. If he sits down at the table and the Rebbe says, I'm ready to eat, and nobody sees that he daven shacharis, some people will say, he's not a real Rebbe. He's not even a yid. He's not even davening with the minyan. He's not putting on talis and tefillin. So people will go away. And he didn't want those chassidim. He didn't want those three chassidim. The only chassidim who he wanted were the chassidim who would say, I don't know, I don't ask kashas on the Rebbe. I don't see him daven. This, okay. The Rebbe's a tzaddik. If he has his inyanim, he has his inyanim. Of course he davened, but he did it in a mysterious way. But he wanted to be mevarer who are his real chassidim. That's what he wanted. Only the people by him who were the ones who he knew were his real chassidim, because a tzaddik knows that if there's some chassidim who are there who are not really so attached to the Rebbe, not that it's not good, it can actually be megarei, it could be trapped in the hashpah the Rebbe has on everybody else. So it was a way of him being able to be mevar who his real chassidim were. Like David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Isfuli chassidai, gather me my chassidim, korsei brisi alai zavach, that the kari is bris with me. I want those chassidim, only the chassidim that they stand by me no matter what. And in this way, if you're wondering, like, what type of a Rebbe does that? Who does that? But the answer is that the Ribbono Shel Olam does that also. Ribbono Shel Olam does that. Don't we have a lot of kashas on Ribbono Shel Olam? Is he not the Rebbe of all Rebbes? Do we not have kashas after the Holocaust and after all these things? Why is Kadosh Baruch Hu doing all these things? You know why? Because at the end of the day, he wants to know, who are my real chassid? Who are going to be the ones who are going to be maiming in me? Because the only way that a Rebbe can be mashpi and his chassidim is that they have a moon. If they have a moon in the Rebbe, then the Rebbe could be mashpi at it. If there's no emunah, then we get nothing. That's how it works with the Eivishter too. If we have a moon in the Ribbono Shel Olam, then we make a vessel and a keli to receive him. If there's no emunah, somebody once came to Rabbi Yehuda Stachiner, the Stachiner Rav, my Rebbe's Rebbe, and he wasn't blessed for a child for 20 years, and he would come every once in a while to the Rebbe, come to the Rebbe, and one time he came and he said to him, the Rebbe turned to him and he says, do you believe in emunah shleima? He was already in his 50s. Do you believe in emunah shleima that you can have a child? And he said, I believe in emunah shleima. So he shook his hand, put the Yeshua in his hand, and he said, go. And he had a child. So Rebbe protected all the big maifis the Rebbe did, the big maifis. He says, I didn't do any maifisim. He did the maifis. Because he believed, I was able to give him. So that's his maifis, not my maifis. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say also. After all is said and done, and the day will come, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his anivas, he's going to say, I didn't do anything. Klai Yisrael did everything. We're going to say, no, you did everything. But Hashem is going to say, no, you did everything. Because we have a moon in the Eibishter, and that's the keli that's able to bring down all the brachas and all the yeshuas for Klai Yisrael. Sidi Ben Malav HaMalkos, that is also that in. Shabbos also wants to have chassidim. And you get to see from Malav HaMalkos, who are the real chassidim of Shabbos Kodesh. Shabbos has a lot of brachas to give. But it's those people that they say about it, Isfuli chassidei, korisei brisei ala zavach, says that I'm curious bris with the Shabbos, I don't want to leave the Shabbos, and I have a moon in Shabbos Kodesh. So coming together like this, and sitting around, and saying we're chassidim of Shabbos Kodesh, which Baruch should help us, that all the brachas of Bnei Chaim Mezayin, which we're looking for Gans Klai Yisrael, we should be zeichet to that for the coming weeks and the years to come.